Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then he begins to give a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator, who is the beginner of all things, who is the head of the church, the body, and he is to have preeminence, which means first place above everything. Christ is given that position by God to have the preeminence. We must never forget that. I've enjoyed this study in Colossians that we've been doing. I've been preaching it from a perspective of a church desiring revival and the things that we must do in order to have that. And I'm thankful for the spiritual depth of the study that I've been able to do in this book and gain knowledge that I didn't have about it and certain words and things of that nature. It's easy in a casual reading just to read over words and without looking them up. And I love doing word studies and text studies. He said he's made us meet, and we saw last time I spoke to you that that means he rendered us fit, or he qualified us for an inheritance. We were unqualified before we were saved, and God has made us qualified to receive an inheritance with the saints of light. That word is used in several passages of Scripture. It can mean made us sufficient in Colossians 1:12. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, the same word Paul used when he said God has made us able ministers of the gospel, of the New Testament. Able is the same word in the Greek language as the word translated meet in our text. The sufficient, competent. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul wrote, he himself was least of the apostles, and he was not meet to be called an apostle because he had persecuted the church, but God had bestowed grace upon him. Same thing is true of us all. There was a time when we were lost. Regardless of what we did, it was sinful in the sight of God. An unsaved person cannot please God. And we in our lives, some of us were wicked and sinful, and some were just good people, but they were still sinful and outside the grace of God. But God has made us all able to receive an inheritance because he has qualified us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's taken us out of darkness and placed us into light. Now today we look, first of all, it's God who's had mercy and grace on us and has qualified us to be able to be rewarded for the works we do. We should give him thanks. The Bible says this should cause us to have a thankful heart. This should cause us to give God appreciation for what he has done for us and what he has qualified us for. We have a great future to look forward to. Life is tough for everybody. It's tougher for some. Some go through amazing hardships and difficulties. But life is hard for all of us. But we've got a better day coming, my friends. Christ has made a way for us, and there's an inheritance for us. And we're going to be rewarded, and we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. And we won't have to worry about these things and deal with these things and be concerned about making all the right choices and decisions because of the ramifications that go along with them, because God has a plan that we're going to be a part of in the future, and we can look forward to that. Now, before he saved us, we were unqualified. Let's look at a couple of reminders. Back up to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1, we'll just stay in Ephesians here and show you a few verses to remind us what we were before we got saved. In chapter 2, he said in verse 1, and you hath he quickened. We know that word means made alive. You cut the quick in your fingernail and you cut the living part. He hath quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So that's what we were, and this is what we are now. We've been given everlasting life. We've been made alive from the dead. As far as God was concerned, when we were living in sin, we were living under the influence of Satan, who's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience. And God looked upon us as dead in trespasses and sins. But through Christ, we've been given life by the grace of God. Over in Ephesians 2, I backed up too far here, didn't hold my place. Ephesians 2 and verse number 12, speaking of our past, is telling us to remember in the past we were Gentiles in the flesh. He said, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In chapter 4 and verse 17 through 19, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So that's where we once were before we were saved, and now we're in the kingdom of light. Now God has cleansed us. God has made us acceptable in his sight. God has qualified us that we are ready to receive an inheritance with the saints in light. Before we were saved, we were dominated by this evil ruler of this world system. We got something bad going on, don't they? Must be some bad wrecks. Don't want to see any of y'all in that going home today. In Galatians 1:4, the Bible says that Christ hath delivered us from this present evil world in which we live. And so we were under that influence before we got saved. We're also dominated by our own fallen nature, by our Adamic connection to Adam and the sin nature. We live by our own desires. We lived sinfully. We justified the wrongdoing that we did. And we had no real ability to change ourselves. Even when we were confronted with a desire to make changes, we had the inability to make those changes without being saved and having the power of God to transform us. The scriptures reveal that the unsaved are Christless, covenantless, hopeless, godless, callous, ignorant, immoral, impure. We sometimes meet people that they, by their own testimony, are not a Christian or not a believer in Christ or have not been saved. More likely in the Southern Bible Belt here, you'll meet people who say, well, I don't know. You know, I hope I'll go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'll go or not. You know, you meet a lot of people like that. But if they are not saved, they're outside the realm of the kingdom of light and darkness. And even if they seem to be good people, even if they seem to be moral people, even if they seem to be someone of integrity, and quite often God allows us to meet a neighbor or a coworker who is a help to us in some way with a kindness, but by their own testimony, they don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. God would use us in those connections to be an example for him and a testimony for him. And who knows down the road what transformation can take place because of the grace of God. If they're in that condition, they're in darkness and despair, they're blind to the truth, they're in a hopeless condition, and they're already, don't wait till the judgment day, they're already under the condemnation of God. Look back in the Gospel at John chapter 3. We all love John 3:16, and our children can quote that verse. They did it yesterday at the nursing home there with Miss Dot, and boy, did they do a great job. You'd all be so proud of them. Derek was a leader for his group. He sang out loud. You could hear every word he sang. He read scripture. He was well-mannered and behaved. He really did a good job. David's kids, he and Emily's children, were all involved in it. And Jonah danced a little bit for us while he was singing, but he did a fantastic job, and they all did, you know. And Julia read some scripture and presented like she didn't know what certain things meant in the gospel message. And the other kids read scripture to explain to her, you know, what it meant. And so Nanette wrote a part in there where they read that if you know Christ, you'll never perish. And they said, is that Pastor Parrish? You know, she wrote that into the play, you know. And they said, no, that's a different word. And Derek explained what perish means, that they would be lost forever, you know. And they explained Pastor Parrish is one who tells people how to be saved. That's not the same word, you know. And I thought that was sort of cute. I asked Nanette, what program did you find that already written into? She said, oh, yeah, I found that on the internet, you know. I thought that was pretty comical. John 3, we know verse 16. The kids know verse 16. We all love verse 16. It's the gospel in a nutshell. It explains right there how we can be saved. Verse 17 carries it on that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But do we know verse 18 and 19 as well as we know verse 16 and 17, or really verse 18 through 21? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So unsaved men are in darkness, and when Christ is presented to them, who is the light of the world, they make choices to stay in darkness rather than come to the light. They don't want to deal with their sin. They don't want their sin exposed. They don't want to be accountable for what they're facing. But what they don't realize, they're already accountable. They're already under God's condemnation. God is in his long-suffering giving them opportunity for the gospel message to be presented to them, for the Spirit to draw them to understanding of Christ. But we don't know how many opportunities they'll have. We don't know how long that door will stay open for them. And it's vital that we share the gospel as often as we can with people that we have any suspicion might be lost. I tell folks about visitation. When you're visiting with someone to try to give them the gospel to be saved, if they don't have an absolute clear, I know a time and a date when I got saved and an experience that I went through where I was changed and God saved, if they can't explain that, just assume they're lost and deal with them in their need to be saved and give them the gospel. God has made us able to receive the inheritance with the saints of light. We think about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12 and 19. You all know the story, how the prodigal wanted his inheritance. Now, he went out and wasted it in riotous living, and then he had nothing, and he wasn't with his family, and he had to hire himself out to a man who slopped hogs. And he was so hungry, he desired to eat the slop that was fed to the hogs, because he was in need. And he said, I'll go home to my father. My father treats his servants well, and I'll go home and just ask my father to treat me like one of his servants, and I'll be far better off than I am now. Boy, wouldn't every parent with a rebellious child love to see their young person get into an experience like that, where they wake up to reality and see they don't have all the answers, and see that the world is not an easy place, and they're so anxious to get away from mom and dad and make their own choices and decisions, but they're going to find out one day how hard that really is, and how much all of us who are adults wish we had somebody to run to who could pay our debt, who could give us counsel, who could help us decide the wise thing to do in the situations that we're in. The prodigal came to himself, the Bible says. He went home. You see, Early on, he said, Father, give me my portion of the inheritance. But then in verse number 19 of Luke 15, he said, Father, make me as one of your hired servants. Can you see the application to the spiritual life there? Instead of just, Father, give me, Father, make me what you would have me to be. And he changed. What a wonderful transformation with this selfish, unthankful son who is now repentant and had a change of mind and a change of heart and a change of behavior because of the experience that he went through and with the knowledge of his Father's mercy and grace. And our Father in heaven stands ready to receive us regardless of the sin of our life. If we come to him and confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In the little book of Philemon, there was a runaway slave named Onesimus who Paul met while he was a prisoner. And Paul was able to lead him to a saving knowledge of Christ. And he became an able minister to Paul, who was a prisoner. And he wrote to Philemon and said, he who was unprofitable to you in the past is now profitable as a servant of Christ and brother in the Lord. He said, receive him as you would receive me. Friends, that's how God accepts us, because Christ has paid the price of our debt, and he says to the Father, receive him as you would receive me. If he oweth you aught, I will repay it. You have my word on that, Paul said. And he's the type of Christ in that experience with the runaway slave named Onesimus. Paul desired that he stay with him, but he knew the right thing was for him first to come home and present himself back. And he asked him, Philemon, to receive him not as a servant, but as a brother in the Lord who was now saved. Jesus has made us profitable. He has made us meet. He has made us able. He has made us qualified for the inheritance of the saints in light because of Christ. Christ paid our debt with his own blood. He's made us a new creature. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. We're rescued from the domain of darkness that we were in before we were saved. If we could really understand where we were before God saved us, and the future, if we'd stayed in that darkness of what would have happened to us without Christ, it would make us thankful to God that he rescued us. I've read numerous times the story that was amazing to me of the USS Indianapolis that went down in World War II. They had delivered the parts for the first bomb to be dropped on Japan to the island of Tinian. And after delivering that, this ship, very well-known ship in the Navy of that day and time, 1,200 men on board. It was a secret mission for them to deliver all these parts there for the bomb to be assembled, to be dropped. And it was a secret mission coming back. A Japanese submarine put two torpedoes into them, and the ship went down completely in 12 minutes. They believe, with 300 men still on board, much like the Arizona at Hawaii that was bombed in port with all the men inside, it sank, and there was no way to free them. These men went down with the ship in 18,000 foot deep water, 5.5 miles deep, the darkness of the night. 900 men went into the water to avoid the fire and the explosion and the sinking of the ship. They had very little time to grab something like a life vest or any food or water or anything of that nature, and only a few lifeboats survived. They were near the Philippines, in the Philippine Sea. They've since found, just a few years ago, the remains of that ship in that deep of water, they have to use those little portable submarines like they did with the Titanic to go down and take pictures of that ship. It was 4 days before survivors were spotted floating along in the sea. 4 days they went through night and day, little food or water to pass around, and the darkness of night and the horror of the sharks that circled them during that time and attacked them. Out of that 900 men that went into the sea, only 316 survived. The captain of the ship survived and was court-martialed because he was not zigzagging when he was attacked. The captain of the Japanese submarine appeared at his trial and convinced the board it would have made no difference if he had zigzagged or not, and they sunk the ship. But some of the families held the captain responsible for the loss of life of their loved ones. The horror of the darkness, the horror of what they went through. Who could help them? Who could they look to? There was believed no distress call went out, but later discoveries were made. There were actually distress calls that did go out rapidly as the ship was sinking. Three stations they know of received the cry for help. One of them thought it was a Japanese trick and ignored the call for help. Another, the station commander, was drunk and made no reaction to the news when it was given to him. Another had ordered his men not to disturb him and went to sleep. And the message went no farther because of that. So it was 4 days before those people were rescued there at sea. Sharks continually eating of those that were floating along, and the waves and the darkness and the wounds that some of them had and all that. Only 316 survived. The captain was reinstated and became a rear admiral, and he retired from the Navy, but he committed suicide in 1968 using his service pistol. I guess he just couldn't live with the horror of what the men had gone through with him being the captain of the ship. Imagine the darkness of the night at sea like that. No hope, no relief, no Savior to come. They called upon some men with the radio, but they could not help them. They did not help them. Many people look to things to help them today that cannot help them. They look to the law. They look to religion. They look to people. It's Christ that people must look to. He's the one that has the power to deliver them from darkness and translate them into light. We were lost. We were in that same kind of condition in darkness before God saved us and changed us. We can be thankful to God for the deliverance that He gave us. We're thankful that He made us new creations and qualified us to receive an inheritance with God. Thankful He translated us out of darkness into light, rescued us from peril. Now we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all our sins and iniquities. We've been given the earnest of the inheritance, the assurance the inheritance will come is the Holy Spirit that is given unto us, that God will complete the transaction with a new body that will last forever, with a new home in the place Christ is preparing for us, with a new heaven and a new earth where we'll live with God forever and forever, where there'll be no wickedness and unrighteousness, there'll be no suffering or pain or death or sorrow or sickness in that day, and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There's other guarantees here, but as I hear the sleet accumulating on the parking lot and the grass out there, I'm going to end right here. I think it's a good point to stop. I think the point's been made of what God has done for us, and what He wants us to do is be thankful. Show our appreciation by living for Him and serving Him, telling others of Him. He asks nothing of us that he doth not equip us to do. If he calls us to do something, he'll enable us to do it. And so let's yield ourselves to him and be thankful. Let's stand together. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the horror that you've delivered us from, hell and the lake of fire, and even living in this life as a lost person who dies because of their sin in all kind of dread, illness, disease, or crime, or whatever it may be. We're so thankful that you've blessed us and saved us by your grace. So help us now to commit to serve you and live for you. Stir our hearts for revival in our church, that, Lord, we might be effective reaching others. In Jesus' name, amen.